The verses I would like us to look at this morning in particular are found in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, which begins with the word repent, therefore, and turn. I know repent is not a popular word. Maybe it brings to your mind a person that is harsh, maybe unhappy. We've had a number of people ask why we have to have confession every single Sunday. Is it really necessary? At least as long as I'm up here, I need it. There's no way that I can stand here without that confession. It's a reminder that that's the grounds that I'm able to be part of this congregation and in the role that I am in, because God forgives. Peter called the crowd to repent and to turn. And then Peter said why they should do this. Why repent? Those who dislike confession and repentance might expect something to follow, something like this. Repent and turn so that times of guilt complexes may come. Or repent and turn so that times of intense feelings of inadequacy and unworthiness may come. Or repent and turn so that times of judgmentalism and dourness and gloominess may come. But what did Peter say? Repent and turn so that times of refreshing might come. Your sins will be erased and Jesus will come to you. What does it mean to repent? Quite literally, the word in Greek, metanoia, means to change one's mind. Caught up in that is often a sense of remorse, a sense of regret, of wanting things to be different, acknowledging what is being said about someone or being said about what's going on in your heart. In the Gospels, Jesus put repent this way: follow me. And people got up and followed him. To repent means to change and to turn. To change from living for what I desire to what I want to do. To turn towards God. And to choose to do what God desires. Which isn't such a bad thing, really. What God desires is love and joy and peace. To turn means to turn to God, to find these things, to affirm these things. To turn to God means to find that your sins have been erased. Now, if we are not careful, that sins being erased line, we might think that Peter is saying we have to repent because sins prevent Jesus from coming to us. But is that what happened? Did people repent and then Jesus came? Or did Jesus come before people had repented? Did people change and turn and then Jesus came? Or did Jesus come before people had even begun to turn? It was while we were still sinners that Jesus came and died for us. We are the ones with the problem. It is not Jesus and it is not God. We do not repent and confess in order to remove sins that are acting as an obstacle or blocking God from coming to us. We repent and confess because in our minds, in our hearts, and in our lives, we are going the wrong way. We are trying to change. We confess because we are trying to change and turn to God. We maybe think of sin as if we were skunks, Pepe Le Pew, in love with the cat, and trying to pull the cat near us, but the cat doesn't want anything to do with us. God doesn't want anything to do with us because our sins smell so bad, and God can't come near us. But in fact, we are more like porcupines, with our quills straight out and stood out, and wondering, why doesn't God love me? Why won't God come near me? As we push him away. In Eden, remember, God came looking. God came calling. God came seeking Adam and Eve out. They were the ones who ran and hid. They were the ones with the problem. And the problem is our orientation, the direction we are headed. Like Adam and Eve, we are running away from God. Now, certainly without holiness, no one will know God. But that is because you can't seek God while at the same time seeking sin. God is goodness and love and joy and justice. And so if in your heart, in your mind, in your life, you are chasing down selfishness, lust, greed, bitterness, unforgiveness, then you are moving away from God. You are the one running away. You won't reach Buckingham Palace to meet the king if you are using a map to drive to Vancouver. You're going the wrong way. I'm mixing my metaphors here. But you won't have any luck getting a doctor's appointment by looking or calling at clothing stores and bars. The problem, as we look for God, is our orientation. We need to change. We need to turn towards God. And our sins will be erased. All the New Testament writers, Paul, John, Peter, all quote together the same line from Isaiah. Whoever believes in Jesus will never be put to shame. We do not confess in order to wallow in shame and guilt. We confess in order to enter freely into the forgiveness that is offered to us. And this is the promise. If you believe in Jesus, you will never be put to shame. We confess each Sunday in order that every single person who comes here will hear the promise of God, the words of God. Your sins are forgiven. And times of refreshing will come. Now, when I first moved here, I thought biking is going to be great here in Regina. The city isn't all that big. I'm going to be able to get from one place to another quickly, and there are no hills. This is wonderful. But there is wind. I remember one day, my first year here on a bike, coming to a complete standstill in going into the wind. I could not believe it. But when you've been biking all day into the wind and then you turn around to head home, what happens? Now the wind is at your back. Now the wind is driving you freely and abundantly home. You don't even have to pedal. You're renewed and refreshed. In Regina, the prevailing wind is from northwest Regina. Most of the time, the wind blows strongest from northwest to southeast. What are the prevailing winds of this world? You might be thinking the prevailing wind is sin and evil, but it isn't. We know that. God is blowing all things toward a good end, toward the restoration of all things, their universal restoration. God's wind is blowing today towards life, towards goodness, towards a time when all that every person does and says and thinks will always come out of loving kindness and goodness, towards a time of joy and peace. But as human beings, what do? We bike into the wind. We're going our own way. We have our own will, our own plans, our own desires. We know better. To repent means to change and to turn for home. It means to suddenly have the wind at your back. And it is in this way that Peter can say, repent, change, turn, and times of refreshing will come. And Jesus comes to you. Peter preached Jesus risen from the dead, alive. Peter preached that Jesus was alive and therefore able to come to you and be with you. For now, Jesus comes to us through the Holy Spirit. But one day, Jesus will appear in flesh again. And Jesus will bring about the time foretold, in Peter's words, the time of the restoration of all. In the NRSV, as we heard this morning, the universal restoration. As the prophet Joel said, the time when all the years that have been lost, all the things that have been taken from us, will be restored. For now, Jesus comes to us in the Holy Spirit. But you've heard in this church the witness of others around the world who have seen Jesus. It's rare. It happens in extreme circumstances. But this is what we have been told by the people themselves, that they have seen Jesus, that he appeared to them and spoke to them. But for most of us, we are waiting for that. I know Jesus is alive, that he rose from the dead, because I know Jesus. I love Jesus because his love is better than anything else I've ever known in this world. And Jesus' love, in my experience, doesn't diminish the love of others. It doesn't diminish the goodness of the world. But rather, Jesus' love enhances all good things. It deepens them. It is no hardship to confess and repent, because it gives me a chance to draw closer to Jesus. I say, as John led us this morning, I say I'm sorry, because it reunites me with Jesus, because it brings me closer to him, and times of refreshing come in my heart. It may be that there is someone here for whom changing and turning today would be a first. If that's the case, then don't wait. I look around, I don't think that's true of anyone here. But don't wait. But for all of us, changing and turning is an ongoing and daily activity to the day of our death. We struggle to go our own way. We struggle to do what we think ought to be the way things are, instead of letting God's wind blow us in the way towards our home. Confession is a way of being alert to the ways that our hearts and our minds remain fixed on our own desires and plans. Alert to the ways that we have our attention and direction fixed on something other than God. And so every day we repent. Every day we confess as a part of turning to God, turning to Jesus. In our hearts is the hope of seeing Jesus, who loved us and gave his life for us, whose love is the best thing in life. We confess to Jesus in order to turn to the one who is the source of life. And times of refreshing come into our hearts. Jesus is alive. He will come to us. To Jesus be all the glory, now and forever. Amen.